Issues, Etc., regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983. If you are listening to this, if you can hear the sound of my voice, it is coming to you via a medium, a means, radio, podcast, whatever it is, who knows, someone off in the distant future listening to ancient broadcasts of Issues, etc., listening by some other means, but there is a medium at work. Now, we don't often notice the medium. It becomes invisible if it works the way it's supposed to work, but that doesn't mean that the various media, the mediums we use, are without meaning themselves. Marshall McLuhan's famous statement, observation that I think is proven over and over and over again, the medium is the message. We're going to talk about the medium, the means, and the message of the Christian Church. Joining us to do so on this Monday afternoon, July the 11th, Rick Ritchie. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc. In the second hour of the program, we'll talk heaven and hell. You can visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and leave your questions or comments for Dr. Andrew Steinman in hour two of Issues Etc. Rick Ritchie is a regular guest author of the blog Old Solar Online, and he's written an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled, What Does This Means Mean? Rick, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be on again.
We're not only going to talk about what we would call technology, because
right,
media extend far beyond that, and I think it's one of the strengths of your article is to point out that we really ought to be asking that about every media we encounter, especially in the church. But you say that technology, per se, both gives and takes away. What do you mean?
Yeah, that was a point that McLuhan made, was we're often unaware of how different technologies work. Now, I was made very aware of it today because I wrote an article, which is a print technology, and I'm getting on the radio to talk about it, and then suddenly I'm thinking, how do I present this? And so it's clear to me that though I do have a message I'd like to get across, I'm suddenly in a different medium, and it brings its own questions to the whole mix. So it's something that I can't not be aware of at this point. But this has a lot of implications for trying to spread the gospel. And a lot of people do think that, oh, well, a medium, it's just sort of an empty container, and you can fill it with anything you want. But even people outside the church dealing in different subjects have seen that this is not the case. There's a educational theorist, John Taylor Gatto, who's seen that even like the structure of a school day conveys a certain content that's different from anything any individual teacher might teach in class. He says, having the bells ring every hour may unwittingly teach students that nothing's worth spending more than an hour of time on at a time. And that's that kind of invisible shape to our media that often goes under the radar. And we can be under its influence 24/7, learning things without even knowing that we're learning them.
Well, speaking of being under the influence, do you think perhaps the church, especially the church that has become enamored of late with all of the, I mean, it is now daily some new avenue opening, some new medium, if you will, opening that the church is being invited to use. Do you think the church is not only under the influence, but to use a metaphor, perhaps driving dangerously under the influence?
Oh, yes. And most of us are aware of this in the most scandalous areas. We had like the TV evangelist scandals of the 1980s, and most people could see this is just crazy. I mean, Saturday Night Live would be able to do a pretty good job with that kind of thing and get people to laugh. And they would see how incongruous it was. People are trying to represent Jesus, who is humble, and they're trying to be flashy about it, and it just ends up being a big mess. But I think we fall into this more subtly when we think we can just grab a new technology and it's going to make no difference whatsoever to what we're trying to get across. And I think the more I thought about this, the more I realized this is something, it's not just the insights of some early 21st century people that this is true. It seems like the Bible writers were already very aware of this fact about us. And in fact, that's one of the main aspects of our fallenness, is that we do this. And I don't think that the means of getting over this is going to be taking a bigger dose of the original problem.
Neither is the remedy, realistically, kind of what reverting to Ludditeism, is it?
Well, I wouldn't think that we'd be too much in danger of that. I'm actually coming on the radio to talk about it, so I'm probably not saying media are bad per se, or we need to destroy radio stations. I take what we're doing right here to be more talking about the gospel and becoming aware of it. And I think that's an important thing to do, but I don't think that what we're doing here is the gospel itself. But I think talking about it is an important thing. We have a means at our disposal. It's useful. But this is a little bit different from the Luddite question. This is more becoming aware. And it may not be that we're going to completely get away from all new technologies. We just have to ask very careful questions about them. What are we giving up? What are they doing? Are we getting to where we think that if we just package the gospel in an attractive enough manner that everybody's going to accept it? If we're thinking that way, we're not really thinking very carefully.
You write about, Rick, the divinely ordained, instituted
Yes.
means that Christ has given his church. Regardless of our day and age of technology, these things are ours. These things are, if you will, mandated for the church's use. What are they?
Yeah, that's the word and the sacraments. We often call them the means of grace. And when I started researching this, I was amazed to find that while I had wanted to write about these two things, word and sacrament and media, that they actually have a linguistic connection in the term means of grace, because in the old Latin, it was media gratia. God had actually given media for grace to come to us, and that was preaching and the sacraments. And the interesting thing about that is they're humble things. St. Paul even talks about the foolishness of preaching. And when it comes to the sacraments, it's some water, it's some bread and wine. Luther asks the question, how can water do such great things? And the reason he asks this is it looks too humble. You just think, this can't be the way the world is going to be saved. Surely there has to be something more interesting or exciting or something to grab our attention. But that's not the way God has chosen to work.
Let's talk a little bit about raising our awareness of the many media that surround us. One of the most useful things I found in your article, Rick, was you suggesting that church members, Christians, really ought to ask the question, what does this mean about a lot of things we don't ask that question about ordinarily? Take us there.
Yeah, I think there are good questions to ask about those things, because we start using these things and we start assuming that the church has always had them. And most of these things were new at one point, and they changed the way churches functioned. I just think of hymnals. One of the things that comes up in our time is, should we be projecting the words on the wall, or should we be doing the traditional thing of having the hymnal? And some of these media critics would say, well, let's look back even further than that. What came even before the hymnal? People would have probably memorized the hymns from being in church. They'd be singing them together. The stance would probably be looking ahead. You'd have that communal sense. And when they were suddenly able to print books, you have a lot more hymns at your disposal, but not everybody knows them. And so you have questions with that. You're also now looking down, which is a little bit more individualistic. Now, if you replace that with a screen, suddenly you have something where you can show TV shows. And if the pastor doesn't know what to do, maybe he'll find a funny clip to entertain everybody with. But on the other hand, you've actually brought something back from before, and that people are looking ahead again. And some people who are going blind might be able to continue to be able to read the words where they couldn't before. So it's one of these things where we can't say that all new technologies are bad, nor can we say that they only take things away. They'll bring new things, but they sometimes bring back things that have been missing for a while. I found this out when I got a new Kindle. People talk about, well, you're going to miss the feel of the printed page and buying books and going into the bookstore and all that. And I thought, well, that is true, and I'm probably going to miss that if that goes away. On the other hand, I was reading a biography of Thomas Jefferson, and it's mentioning all these obscure books that he read from the 18th century. I could click onto the Kindle store and download them within a minute, and I would have access to some old document that probably has been something nobody could find for decades, if not centuries.
Let's take a break right here, Rick. When we come back, we'll talk more with Rick Ritchie about the medium, the means, and the message of the church. It's Monday afternoon, the 11th of July. We're coming to you live. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. We'll talk about what he, tongue-in-cheek, calls the four spiritual laws of media after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I was thinking during the break, it's funny how it, as you talk about what various media mean, what meaning they carry with them just by their very existence. It's being illustrated very nicely in our conversation here with Rick Ritchie. As he said at the beginning, we're taking an article that he has written in Modern Reformation magazine called What Does This Means Mean? And we're trying to translate it through, and it is always a shoehorning process, believe me, I've done this for a lot of years, trying to translate it through a new medium of the spoken word and conversation. So it's kind of proving the point that Rick so ably makes in his article. You talk about what McLuhan said, four things we need to remember about any medium any means, beginning with what he would have called enhance. What is that talking about?
Yeah, this is probably the one most of us are familiar with. It's that every new medium begins with a promise. It's going to be able to do this. So eyeglasses enhance vision, television even more so. And we just think, oh, look, everybody's going to be able to see a pastor. We're probably going to be able to televise church services. And it's like the whole country will suddenly be churched. And in fact, that's not what happens. What ends up happening is you find out that people find those kinds of services really boring unless you change the service. So you'll have places like Crystal Cathedral that fundamentally change the worship service. Other Christians realize, well, that doesn't work, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a talk show format because people like talk shows. So then they have religious talk shows. And then they end up spending so much of their effort just trying to gain money to stay on the air that they're always trying to come up with some new thing, and that gets the entire church enamored with fads. And so what looked like a simple thing of we're just going to be able to televise church ends up taking on a life of its own and takes people in directions that they probably never imagined they'd go.
So, again, we come back to what you said before. Every new medium or technology gives something.
Right.
But it also limits in another way. And it's always a trade-off. At this point, is the wisdom of the church simply to not say no, but to say how? How should we be using this rather than simply, yes, let's use it and use it every possible way we can?
Yeah, I think they have to be the careful questions of what is this going to do? And I don't think it should be an automatic yes or an automatic no. There may be times where you would say, you know, I think this new technology is actually going to not only give us something, it's probably going to bring something back that we didn't have available, and I think that's worth doing. But you want to keep your eye on it. You want to be aware of it. And I think the biggest problem now is people are not even asking the question, or they only ask the question when you come into a big scandal and people say, okay, no to TV, but we're going to be running three-color ads all the time, or we're going to totally switch over to screens. And they're not saying, okay, well, what's this going to do when we do it? Or is there a way of doing it that we limit some of the unintended consequences?
Another point you would have us remember is that new technologies generally make old technologies obsolete. What should we know?
Mm-hmm. Well, think about radio. Radio used to be like the one medium out there for entertainment. The family would gather around, they would listen, the children would probably develop great imaginations because they have to picture things that they can only hear. So there was kind of an interesting thing that would happen there. And you go to television, and suddenly you have a switch. You can now see things, but you probably had radio stars that didn't look very good on TV. And so some of those radio stars go away. Comes to politics, there are presidents who probably sounded great on the radio, looked terrible. I hear that Richard Nixon probably lost one campaign because he would sweat too heavily, and people thought that looked terrible, probably didn't come across on radio. There are just so many things that happen that you can't even foresee, and we need to know that this is what happens with every medium.
You also point out that, and you've said this several times, that new technologies take things away, but it also can bring something back that had been lost in a previous technological shift. Give us an example.
Mm-hmm. Well, my Kindle was, I think, probably my prime example of that, is suddenly a bunch of 18th century books that I probably would have had to have driven to a library to find if I was lucky enough to be able to do that, are available within seconds. So that was probably the fashion of new printed books took them away, but now the Kindle brought them back. And that happens with technologies as well. I think some of the digital technologies are probably going to be able to put books that haven't been out in print, make them available for everybody, even not printed versions, but the illuminated manuscripts of the medieval times. Those are going to be available to people, whereas it used to be something you could only find in an archive. So technologies both give, take away, and then they bring back.
Now, this last one, McLuhan called reverse, but I think it's best summarized by talking about the law of unintended consequences. What did McLuhan mean when he cautioned that we consider the reverse of any new technology or medium?
Yeah, I think his example that I remember first running into was the automobile, and it's sort of, you're kind of like Lone Ranger on your horse. It enhances individualism, but there's sometimes the unintended consequence of the traffic jam where suddenly you're back in the crowd, and you can't get out of the crowd, and it's very clear that you can't get out of the crowd, so it ends up doing the opposite of what it was said that it would do, and I think that's happened. Even within the church, you had Charles Finney during revivalism said, we can use excitements, and we're going to get people really excited about God, and this is going to draw a lot of people into the church. Now, he thought he was living in the last generation of Christianity, so he thought, this is safe to do because Jesus is going to come back really quickly, and so this isn't going to hurt. But if it weren't for the soon return of Christ, this would be a disaster because this can't go on forever. People are going to get jaded. Well, people did get jaded, and we're still trying to follow this method. And that's a reversal of trying to excite people. You actually turn them jaded.
Ken in Winter Park, Florida asks, does the changing, ever-changing nature of technology ever clash with the message of the unchanging nature of God? Do screens in worship, in the worship center, which have constantly changing images that may never be seen again, communicate something different and less profound than the large altar painting by Cranach, for example?
I think that's a very important question to ask. And one of the places I'd like to go with that is going back to the original means of grace that God gave us, is we should have an unchanging grasp on the means that God has given us. And if we do that, if we keep hold of the word and sacraments, then I think anybody from any time period could walk in and recognize that what we're doing is really church and really Christianity. I think if we let go of that, no amount of media savvy is going to save us from becoming just the church of new that has no relation to anything that came before and probably will be soon forgotten.
With only a minute here, Rick, there are those who suggest or seem to suggest that those old means, the means of grace, have outlived their usefulness, that God has opened up a whole new way for us through technology, through kind of a global world that we now live, a globalized world, and that if we really want to reach people with Christ, we are going to have to abandon the old means. What would you say in response to that?
It sounds a little bit too much like the serpent in the garden for my taste. I think that was the first ad campaign, and all modern ad campaigns are kind of similar.
Rick Ritchie is author of the blog Old Solar Online. He's written an article in the latest issue of Modern Reformation magazine titled, What Does This Means Mean? Rick, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Good to talk to you.
It's all, see, when they're invisible, you always have to be asking, what is the medium? Once you identify it, then you have to ask those questions. What is it promised? Is it delivering on those promises? And along with giving what it promises, if it does it bring something else? And especially since we have a church whose message never changes, a word that does not change with technology, a Christ and a salvation that remains constant, unchanging for all people everywhere at every time, shouldn't the church of all institutions be most acutely aware of the various media, where they're at, how they're used, and what they themselves mean, what meaning they bring along? It's not a question of whether or not the church can or should use the new media or technology. That's not the question at all. The question is, are we aware of the tools that we have taken in our hands? Do we know what they actually do? Do we know what they're capable of? Do we know what their limits are? And will we ever be so foolish as to exchange them for the God-appointed means that have been given to us? I've made the point before, and I'll make it again. Jesus has commanded the church to preach. He's commanded the church to baptize. He has not given us the luxury or the privilege of replacing preaching or baptism of the Lord's Supper, the word of absolution, with anything else. No matter how much it promises, no matter how much we think it might work better, we do not have that luxury. He has given us his means, and by giving us his means, he has given us himself. When we come back, we'll talk heaven and hell with Dr. Andrew Steinman in hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.